Morning. I think the passage that was read was Matthew 11, 16 and 17. I will read it one more time. To what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. In 1964, woman with the name Kitty Genovese was a young woman who was murdered in New York residential section where at least 38 neighbors watched from their windows. During the course of 30-minute assault, no one even telephoned the police. Interviews have uncovered some surprising fact about these people. The main reason nobody did anything was that each person thought someone else would take the initiative to help others. It was the case of apathy, indifference. They didn't care. We live in a culture where we're taught to mind our own business, to butt out of other people's business. If you see someone in need, don't help, because Good Samaritan usually gets hurt these days. This notion of one human being caring for another human being became foreign to many. We are just busy looking out for ourselves only. Well, time to time, we may feel sorry for those who are hurting, crying, mourning, hungering, and dying. But oftentimes, we pass the buck to others, to government, to the leaders, to someone else to take care of them. And I see so many individuals who are apathetic toward the pain and the suffering of other people. Perhaps you feel like there is too much going on, too much pain, too much hurt, too much injustice for me to do anything about it. What will you care? What will you care and be involved in this time of pandemic? And do you feel like you will make any difference? There was a 10-year-old boy who went to the beach morning after a huge tropical storm. There were tens of thousands of starfish lying on a shore, drying up in hot sun. This little kid felt bad for the helpless starfish, so one by one, he started picking up and throwing back into the ocean. A practical, cynical old grandpa came along and saw what this little guy was doing, that he was trying to save few starfish. He said to the boy, "Do you really think that you are going to make any difference with all these thousands and thousands of starfish? Do you really think that what you're doing is going to make a difference?" The little kid happened to be holding a starfish at the moment, and he held up and responded, "Well, I'm pretty sure that I'm making a difference on this one. I don't know about the other, but this one is going to be different." You and I cannot solve the problem of the world, but we can surely help those God put us in contact with. We cannot solve the problem of homelessness, but one person can surely give hope to one person who is in dire need of food or help. We may not be able to solve world hunger, but we can give one meal and make a difference in that person's life. It is the greatest of mistake of all to do nothing because I feel like I cannot solve the problem. As children of God, we are not to turn our deaf ears to the cry of help, nor to turn our heads when we see the ones in need. Today's passage is kind of interesting one. To what can I compare this generation? In fact, I feel like this passage is talking about the generation that we are going through. It could be a boomer generation, it could be X generation, Y generation, Z generation, whatever generation. And it seems like it fits into that category. They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others, "We play the flute for you and no one's dancing. We sing a dirge." It's dirge is a song that you sing in a funeral. "And no one mourned." It seems like no one cares. Everyone's apathetic, everyone's indifferent. Maybe because the problem that we're facing in our society right now is too big for us to even care. So we turn deaf ears and turn our heads, not to even look at it. As children of God, we need to care. Because we were touched. We are product of someone's care. And that someone is God. God cared for us that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. He paid a hefty price in order to care. So we are called to care as well. Life of a Christian suffers when we cannot see beyond ourselves. When we become so self-centered and so focused and only worrying about what is going on in my own life, we dry up really fast. Our hearts were made to extend to others in order to find meaning, in order to find worthiness. Well, in the Bible, there are many stories, and among the stories that are popular even among the non-Christians is a story of Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan story, it goes something like this. Jesus told a story, a parable, in order to teach a lesson. And in order to understand the story of Good Samaritan, you need to understand what went on before Jesus told that parable, that story. There was a man, expert in law, came to Jesus and asked a question about eternal life. And he asked the question not because he was interested, but he wanted to test Jesus. And rather than answering the question, Jesus says, well, you know, the person asks, what do I need to do in order to inherit eternal life? And Jesus throws back a question, what does the law say? And the expert of the law knew the answer. I know this one. The law says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He talked about two kinds of love, love of God and love of others. And the question of a lawman was this, who is my neighbor? Who do I need to love? And then Jesus told this story. Who is my neighbor? Who do I need to care? Who do I need to really pour my heart to? And Jesus told the story of Good Samaritan. Well, just to refresh your memory of Good Samaritan's story, there was a man who encountered a robber and he was just near death. He lost everything. He was bleeding side of a road. A priest, a religious man, is passing by. An exemplary man, a religious man, a person who is to uphold morals and ethics and to be a good example. Yet he does not touch the wounded man. I'm sure he had a valid excuse. He was coming from Jerusalem. He was a priest coming from Jerusalem, or the temple was. And when a priest goes to Jerusalem, it's to cleanse himself, to make him clean, to make him righteous. So he just went through the worship service, and he feels like holy and clean, and he is passing by, and there's a man bleeding, dying, and he doesn't want to dirty himself. He doesn't want to touch this person who is dying and make him unclean. And I'm sure he had a valid excuse to just pass by. Maybe he thought, I've been sanctified, and I don't want to dirty myself before I go back to my synagogue. Before I go to my temple, he knew it was the right thing to do, but he didn't. He had this I don't care attitude, not my business attitude. Then comes another religious person of a Jewish community, a Levite. A Levite are the tribes that were given the responsibility of carrying the temple and really just carrying the services, worship services that they were doing. I'm sure he may have been busy. Maybe he wasn't very interested in stopping and helping, but he passes by. The people who the listeners of this story thought they should care, they just pass by. Then comes a Samaritan person. This was kind of came from nowhere. People were shocked because people who were listening to this story of Samaritan, the Jesus story, they didn't expect Samaritan to come in to this picture because Samaritans weren't viewed as good people. They were kind of mixed blood, and the Jews considered Samaritan equal to dogs. There was a great racial tension. There was a great kind of, discrimination of Jews against the Samaritans. And Jesus is talking about, now this Samaritan appears, and he is helping. This was shocking to the listeners. If it happened in today's society, it would have been an 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock news. It would be like a Palestinian helping a Jewish in need. The Palestinians and Jewish are enemies. They don't help each other. And that's what's going on here. Jesus is saying, a person who should be angry at the Jew, he stops and helps. The people who are supposed to help, they just pass by. But then the person who no one expected to lend a hand, he is caring. Though he was a Samaritan, socially, culturally rejected, yet he chose to care. Oftentimes we have our own excuses of not caring, not helping. But God is just through this story of Good Samaritan telling us, it's not your state of where you are in life that you should and shouldn't care. It doesn't matter if you are rejected, if you are persecuted, if you're, you know, racially discriminated. Our duty as a children of God is care just as God has cared for us. Now I want to ask a question. Where do we begin to overcome apathy and indifference in order to live a victorious life? It begins in our hearts. What do you feel when you see starving children on TV? When you see devastation of entire town by a tornado out of the world? These days, when you see police brutality toward the people of minority people, what do you feel when people in the name of justice destroying other people's property? You know, there's something that is boiling within us. We feel like we need to do something about what's going on around us. It just begins with our heart. You see, God desires for us to really walk in justice. What do you see and what do you feel when you see so many people rejecting God and walking away from God, denying God, when you know clearly as a believer that there is heaven and hell? When we see people who are in need of help, we need to really come into sense, you know, right senses with God and feel like God is sending me in order to make a difference. We need to hurt where God is hurting. We need to weep where God is weeping. We need to lend a hand when there's truly need for our hands to be working. My heart ached as we began this pandemic. In the beginning of COVID-19, there were so many people who were getting sick, and many of our church members lost their lives. And in the beginning of pandemic, it was really sad to go and do the funeral. Our session elders told me, Pastor Jim Bob, don't go to the funerals because you might get sick as well. But I couldn't. Because the people, the family members were mourning, if you died of COVID-19, you couldn't even have a funeral in the funeral home. Only thing you could do was go to the grave, and 10 people maximum, you had to finish the service within 10 minutes and get out of there. There was not enough time even to grieve. And as a senior pastor, for me to, not even as a senior pastor, as a human being, not to be able to comfort them, it really tore my heart. So I told them, I don't care about other things, but I'm going to mourn with the people who are mourning. So I did a lot of funerals during this COVID-19. There were people who died of COVID-19, and there were people who passed away for other illnesses as well. My heart was deeply disturbed seeing so much suffering from the people around me. Then realizing that I can do something. Of course I say I'll pray for you, but to be able to do something, it really brought some sort of joy and comfort and peace in my heart. When we begin to not care, of what's going on around me, our heart hardens little by little. You know what you call a hardened heart? Heart attack. Heart attack. If you continue to not care for the things that are going on around us, then our hearts become hardened and spiritually we die little by little. That's why in the Bible it says to consider other people better than yourselves. For us to be servant of all. There's a reason why God is emphasizing for us to live our life for not for myself, but for the sake of other people. It is because that's the best way to live. We kind of calculate and think that unless I take care of myself, then I cannot take care of other people. Yeah, that's true. You need to be healthy to care for other people. But how long do you wait in order to take care of other people? I read this book titled Wounded Healer. It was by Henry Nouwen. And it was a book about caring for other people when I myself am wounded. COVID-19 kind of put a crutch in all of us. We all have kind of disabilities now. We have to be careful, and we have to really watch our health and take care of ourselves. Yet, does that stop us from caring for other people? One of our church members, one of a deacon family, contacted me and shared about what he's doing during this COVID-19 in the beginning part when it was really bad in New York and New Jersey. He was wanting to kind of feed the people who are homeless and people who are day workers. For a few months, these day workers didn't have any job because people were kind of quarantined at home and they couldn't go out. But these people who are from, you know, Central South America, they work one day and you know, that's how they survive. And they couldn't work. And they couldn't, because they couldn't work, they couldn't eat. So these people were out on the street just wandering around, you know, hoping to find some kind of job and some kind of food. And he was making lunch for 200 people. And then I said, well, let's share the burden. I'll do 100. And he said he will continue to do 200. So he did 200, we did 100, and other people kind of heard this and began to kind of, you know, okay, we will help financially, we will help making the lunch and all that. Every week, there were like close to about 1,000 lunches being made and passing out. And there was one deacon from another church who he was just driving around in New York and New Jersey area looking for homeless people and day workers, and he just passed them out to all of them. And we found such joy just helping other people. It costs money, it costs time, and you know, our whole family had to be involved in making this. But it wasn't a burden, it was joy. It was really something that we felt this is what makes life worthwhile. You may be the greatest, most eloquent, influential Christian, but if you do not have a compassionate heart, you better check your foundation. World Vision, the organization that helps the children around the world, has a motto, and this is their vision statement. Let your heart be broken by the things that breaks the heart of God. Let your heart be broken by the things that breaks the heart of God. There are many things that are going on that breaks the heart of God. There's so much injustice, so much hunger and pain. That breaks God's heart. So much sinfulness. That, what breaks the heart of God, ought to break our heart as well. God desires softened heart because callous heart is a dead heart. Callous heart cannot feel, cannot grow, cannot do anything. The seed of God's word fall on it, but the seed comes and eat them up because it's dried up. We need to have a soft heart, and only God can provide that heart. Not only do we need to have a good heart, but also we need to make plans. To feel is one thing, but to make conscious decision to follow through is another. When you see a need, you need to make specific plans. If you have a friend who may be lost, then you need to really make plans. How can I share the word of God with that person? You don't go and say, well, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to go to hell, believe. Well, you need to make concrete plans. what's going to be, you know, number one, I tell people, if you're going to witness to someone, be willing to spend some money. Don't be cheap. Just buy them lunch, buy them coffee, and you know, spend time with them. If you see someone who is struggling because they lost a loved one, don't just say, oh, I'm sorry. Make concrete plans to help them. For example, I'll watch your children tomorrow from 1 to 5. I will pick up your kids from school next 2 months. Make concrete plans in order to help, in order to really make a difference in other people's lives. The problem we face is this. We see the need and feel something nudging in our heart, and there's a small voice inside of us saying, you should give them a call. Send them a card to encourage them. Yet, we just put it off until we forget. Many of us have heart, but do not make plan. Someone said this interesting kind of statement. Some people spend a whole lifetime developing one part of their body, their wishbone. They wish and wish, but then they don't do it. I found this to be helpful. Make a list of people you are praying and make a specific plan what you can do as you pray for them. If there's anything you can, make specific plans and write them on your calendar, planner. Good Samaritan not only felt the victim's pain and hardship, but he made a specific plan and helped. He took him to the inn, paid the money, and told him, if it's going to cost money on my way back, I will pay the rest. There was a clear and specific plan made in order to help the person in need. We also need to change our thinking to, I may not be able to change the world, but I can make a difference in this one person's life. We need to have this kind of heart and mind. I might not be able to help everything, but this one person, I can make a difference. As many of you know, we have 6 children, and among the 6, we have two adopted daughters. Wonderful children, beautiful children, and people kind of, you know, tend to think, well, there's so many orphans around the world. You know, how can we take care of them all? How can we make a difference in orphans' life? Well, I would tell them this way. I don't know about other children, but these 2 girls that came to our house, they're going to be our daughters. They're going to have mom and dad who they can turn to. We may not be able to change the world, but we can make a difference in our family, in our community, and in our neighborhood. Then not only make a plan, but you need to move on it. Carry them out. The reason why God gave us healthy limbs is not to just play sports, play beautiful music, and swing dance. God gave us hands and feet for us to really move to help other people, to make a difference. Psalmist says this, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news. Utilizing our feet in order to bring the good news to other people, using our hands in order to lend helping hands to other people. These are the beautiful hands and feet. George Bernard Shaw said this, the worst sin toward our fellow creature is this, not to hate them, but to be indifferent to them. You know what I hate to hear from our children? When I were talking and you know, when I carry a conversation, when they say, I don't care. Ask your parents. Those of you who are here worshiping with your parents, ask your parents. Do you like when I say I don't care? Of course. You know why it bothers me? Because I care. If I care, then they will care as well. When you say I don't care, that means that I don't want to have a relationship with you. When you care, you will listen and you will express what is in your heart. Late Martin Luther King said this. This is a kind of a quote that I utilize other time as well in the Korean service as well. And you know, it really kind of drove home. You know, because there's so many people who are living under the discrimination, and because of their poverty and because of their, you know, color of their skin or whatever, you know, just, but we tend to kind of think, oh, that's a politician stuff, other people's stuff. But when I read this, I feel like, you know, I need to really care for them. This is what he said. There comes a time when silence is betrayal. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. In the end, we will remember not only the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. At the end, we're not gonna only remember what other people said to hurt me, but we're gonna also remember the friends who were there who did nothing about it, who didn't care. Being spiritually alive means that we need to care what God cares. God cares for the people who are lost. God cares who are hurting. Jesus came not only to care for the people's spiritual lives, but he came and helped the people who are hungry, people who are thirsty, people who are in pain, people who are sick. He came and touched them all. And Jesus told this, "What you have done to the least of these, you have done unto me." People who are hungry, people who are thirsty, people who are shivering in cold, and people who are lonely in prison. If you have done little thing to bring them comfort, to bring them joy, to bring them hope, you have done unto me. Do we want to live a vibrant, victorious Christian living? It's not about being dogmatic about the world and fighting with the world and saying that you're wrong, I'm right. Jesus came and really through his example, giving his life, he showed an example of what it means to care. We don't care not only with our words, but we care with our action as well. That's what Jesus told us. If you have done little thing to the least of these, you have done unto me. Do you want to bring joy to God, glory to his name? Then be the messenger of Jesus Christ. Not only talker of the world, but to be really someone who lives out what we talk, walking the talk. This morning, I'm offering the remedy to apathy, indifference. Begin with your heart and see those who are hurting around you. Make specific plan and help them. Just do it. And watch your indifference melt away. Melt away. We think that we do a lot of, serving at church. You know, I do this, that's at church. What you do at church is not really serving. You're practicing here. The actual place of doing the work is in the world. At home, with my spouse, my wife, with my husband, we practice what it means to care. That's where it begins, and we expand. Let's pray. God, you sent your son Jesus Christ because you cared. If you didn't care, you would have sent all of us to eternal damnation. But you cared so much that you sent your best. God, we want to resemble your heart. We want to mimic what you have done in our lives. May you melt away the heart of indifference, heart of apathy, and restore within myself the joy of your salvation. Restore within myself the heart that will really beat with your own heart. Cry where you are crying and rejoice where you're rejoicing. Make my heart care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.